Blog Talk Radio.
We are Sex Bomb, and we're here to make you think about death and get sad and stuff.
You're listening to Lunch with Ginger and Corey.
Mine.
I already had it on lunch. Do you have your lunch ready?
No. Well, I guess sort of. I don't know.
I had a lovely chicken sandwich with mozzarella.
I had a piece of banana bread when I got back earlier.
Mm-hmm. We had to talk about you and your banana bread. Can you all talk about Ginger?
It was so darn good.
First of all, how dare she eat banana bread without sharing?
Yosh.
Okay, so apparently there's some city theme beta keeps floating around. We don't have any, but we do have an exclusive interview that'll be going live sometime today.
I don't know, where are our beta keeps? I'm not even going to send us some.
Girl, I don't know.
Gabe.
Gabe.
Hey, darling.
2 hours together mean nothing to you, Gabe.
Have you forgotten my name already?
I think Gabe is getting ready to go wind it down and go to sleep right now because it's like, I don't know what time it is in China. I don't know.
I was going to ask about that, where they were. I kind of figured they had to be in China.
Yeah, he's asleep. It's 1 a.m. in China. They are so knocked the hell out.
No. We are gamers. He's just now thinking about going to sleep.
Well, you never know. You never know. Ginger, you and I have been discussing something this morning that we need to share with our listeners.
My God.
Y'all know what time it is. Time.
Zombie watch.
Time for zombie watch, if it ever picks up. Come on, BT, catch up with
me. Zombie watch. Oh, my God, it's zombie.
Okay, apparently our zombie watch music is not going to kick in, probably when I'm in the middle of a sentence somewhere or something. I don't know. So, there it goes.
There it goes.
Yay, Tommy Watch.
Love songs, take your shit. Woo, man. Walk is still lagging so far that I don't even
hear. What happened? What happened?
You know how, like, if you get, like, low battery on, like, a radio player or something, the music starts doing a whole little warble noise sound to it?
That we heard?
Yes.
Good morning to you, Joe. Mm-hmm. Be aware, we have less than a month to the zombie apocalypse. But assuming that we get to live, you guys have got to check out the new movie World War Z next year. World War Z?
Yes, if we live. By the way, you that I was arguing with the other day, you know who you are if you're listening. I was right. You were wrong. Boat, not a castle.
Yeah, because according to World War Z, castle is not going to work. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. So I actually, okay, just so you know, it's starring Brad Pitt. I'm not a Brad Pitt fan, nor do I hate him. He's just, you know, I watch his movies and, you know, it's fine. I don't look at him and go, oh, my God, life's poor. Serious funny.
He cheated on Jennifer Aniston.
Well, that's not why. You always bring the personal. I don't care what you do. He's an actor. His job is to act. I don't care what he does in his personal life. He could eat goats all day and bathe in their blood for all I care. I don't care. But I'm not a fan or not a fan at the same time. Sometimes he does a good movie. Sometimes not. I think this one is going to do very well for him. He doesn't do many action movies. I dare say Miss, the future Mrs. Pitt probably urged him to do it because, you know, she's the action star. Probably said, you know, try this out. But I am most impressed that they did some different things with the zombies. And we've not seen zombies doing movies, like, ever. Like, Zombie Tide and Flood. If you don't know what we're talking about, I put that up like 2 hours ago with a hashtag. Go ahead and retweet that, and then go watch that trailer for World War Z, and you will understand what we're talking about. You have never seen them do this before, and we've never even thought about this. You have to put this into your zombie contingency plan that they can climb each other.
I mean, literally, I mean, they were, like, running along the walls on this whole wave of zombies. And then, like, just stacking on top of you. And we're not talking, like, on top of each other. We're talking just mounds of them jumping off on top of each other.
I can't.
Yes, like, flipping ants.
Oh.
Oh, my God. So scary. So, yeah. But those awesome little girls over in Africa, you and I, we're going to have a conversation because I want about a dozen of your pee
generators. Yeah.
Generators. These generators run off of pee.
And we need lots of coffee so I can power the generator.
Yes. And then, you know, I already have somebody who has shown me how to backwards modify an air conditioner to pull clean water out of the air. And you can also do it and make heat. So, hey, we're set. We're set. You know, I'll build myself a little tent. I'll have myself a little garden area on top of a boat. We can fish. We got our fresh water. We got our pee generated energy. I'm good.
We need to get some plants, though. We're going to have to get some plants. You know, you get scurvy.
I have seeds.
Lemon lime.
I have seeds.
Yeah, for the lemon lime seeds. And we need, you know, we can make lime fish. It'll be nice. Get your spices.
Yes. Get your spices.
And you know what else I was enjoying about the trailer that I saw, okay? We all watch the zombie movies, and from somewhere, miraculously, within 2 to 3 minutes, somebody has a gun. According to just a little bit of the trailer at the beginning of the movie, Brad Pitt's character is in the military, or he's part of the UN, actually. I'm assuming he's in the UN and he has some military background, but he does not have a gun. So you all who are thinking, zombie apocalypse happens, I'm just going to miraculously have a gun. You know, there's going to be, we said this before, there's going to be shells laid out like in Left 4 Dead and somebody left a gun for you. That's not going to happen. You need to be looking around your house right now trying to see what you can use as a weapon. Right now, I have a bottle on my desk, a screwdriver, a pen. I got a wrench, monkey wrench. Okay? You all need to be prepared properly for this happens. You will not have a gun. I like the fact that, you know, did you see the part where he managed to get him into another car? That was a camper.
Yeah. It was
a camper.
I don't know what that car was.
It was a camper. And he had to drive his family, you know, out of the middle of the fray. But the movie's going to do awesome. Good luck, Brad. I'm hoping that they didn't show us just all the good parts in the trailer. And of course, my favorite line of the trailer is his wife says, "How do you know they're coming?" And he looks at her and he says, "Oh, they're coming."
Yeah.
Oh, they're coming. Don't worry.
And he like trying to hold the door shut.
Oh, that one was making me
getting on the helicopter.
Yeah, that
there.
One was too. I was like, "Oh my God, I want to double it." Oh my God.
Yeah. Seriously. Oh.
Yeah. So World War Z. Make sure you check it out. We may have a World War Z party. Assuming, again, that the zombie apocalypse does not happen. 12/21/12 or 12/12. We don't really know. Anybody know the date that this is supposed to happen?
I don't know. Let's see what's going on.
Tender, okay, look here. I'm going to need you on 12/9/12 to start down this way. I'll meet you at the ship channel.
Okay.
I will commandeer a boat. I may have to hit somebody, not a zombie, with my monkey wrench to get it. Now, we don't know how to drive the boat. Anybody here know how to drive a ship?
I got somebody who can drive a boat. We're good.
All right. So anybody else want to come? You come down there, we'll let you on. Don't start acting crazy. You start screaming and then carrying on, we're going to put you down because we can't attract the zombies. You got to be calm. Bring your seeds. We got foods to grow. Bring some soil. Somebody pick up some what is that? The super grow. We need some super grow, whatever it is. A bunch of pots.
I'm the peat pots. We'll be good. You know, because you remember that boat that they were looking at putting out to sea in California for all the developers to work on?
Yeah, they are out there. They are out there working.
We need one of those. Well, maybe you know someone there has a little greenhouse.
They do, and that's what we need.
Yeah.
We have to turn the soil, and, you know, we need the lights and everything.
Yeah. Anybody who shows up on my boat who I don't know and don't trust, you know, if I see so much as a scratch on you, you're going overboard.
No, we can't do them overboard because zombies can swim.
Well, if you're still human and you got a scratch on your ass, and I don't know you're going overboard. You can sink.
going to tie rocks into their ankles?
Yes.
See, y'all need to be afraid of us. We're coming up with a plan.
Yes. I mean, if I don't know you, and you come to me with some kind of blood on you, I don't know what it is. I don't know where you got it. It's yours or zombies, and I don't know if you're contaminated. You're not contaminating the rest of us.
Okay, here's how it has to go. You cannot have blood, a scratch on you, or a scream. You also have to
open sore. You're out.
And you have to bring something with you. It's kind of like a potluck.
Yes, and by potluck, we don't mean zombieism.
Mm-mm.
No, I need my body parts inside my body.
Mm-hmm. Make sure when you come
with me. That's how I make all this awesomeness.
Seeds are good.
Yes.
And fresh water. And a wheelbarrow.
All right, so, Kathy, how many people have that crappy program on your computer?
I tell people not to install McAfee. I really do.
McCrappy, whatever. Everybody, anytime I see this on somebody's computer, I yell at them. Shake that off your computer. It's about as bad as that other one. I can't think of it now.
That would be Norton's. Mm-hmm.
Norton's and McCrappy. Just don't ever put that on your computer. Mm-hmm. Ever. Both are viruses. Both are completely horrible.
Mm-hmm.
McAfee actually got cut spine or something. Anyways, I don't remember. Anyways, a tech guru, John McAfee, whatever, is apparently being held for murdering his neighbor.
What?
Yes. He sold the company several years back after making it big. So he moved down to Belize and was living the good life out there on an island. And what do you know? What have I been telling you people? What is my mantra? Stay away from the bath salts. He's not even staying away from the bath salts. I kid you not. He's addicted to them and other drugs, and since those wonderful bath salts makes people so violent and not so, he killed his neighbor. Which he's saying, oh, it wasn't me. But of course, he can't remember what he did. So, he murdered his neighbor, Gregory Fowl, over last Sunday. Of course, you know, McAfee is wanting to come back to the U.S. because he fears he's going to be killed if he ends up in the Belize government custody. You know, you killed a guy. I don't care. you left our country, so.
I am serving face.
Yeah. According to a complaint, apparently this guy has all kinds of crap. He had vicious dogs on his property just running amok. They almost became loose and ran as a pack. Three residents had been bitten. Three tourists had been attacked. Oh, my God. They've just been nuts. So this guy is just nuts. He had all kinds of crap on his land. So apparently McAfee shot his neighbor, Mr. Fowl, in the back of the head.
For what?
Drugs? Drug money? Oh, no. You're on bath salts. Why do you...
Is he really on bath salts?
Yes. They are actually talking about he is addicted to bath salts along with other drugs.
Bath salts and other drugs. Today on CCR.
Yeah. Apparently he already lost. Oh, when he sold the software company, he made $100 million. He lost all but $4 million of it, and that's the reason why he moved to Belize.
How do you lose?
I'm going to say gambling and drugs.
If you are a smart person, you can live off of $100 million. The interest alone has got to be around $1 million.
If you're smart, I mean, hell,
don't do
people like us. We go buy three houses, $30,000. They're all paid off. We live in one. We rent out the other two. We're good.
Word.
We're good.
Word.
I don't need a lot. I just need enough to pay my bills.
There you go. And we would probably all live in the same house, just so y'all know. We would. We would all have a huge house, one big mansion. Ginger has a wing. I got a wing. Snow got a wing. Blaster got a wing. We come and we eat together at night. We argue over some games. See y'all later. I'm going to play with them. Play. Or we might play.
$1 million. We could be set.
Yeah.
I for $100,000. I'm good. So, yeah.
A $300,000 house in Texas will get you a mansion.
Yes. True story. Flipping story. We're not talking about those McMansions. No, we're talking a full-blown mansion.
It's on 20 acres. It's got a ranch in the back mansion.
Yes.
I can't even believe it. Okay. Okay, well, I got some news for you guys.
What you got? I'm like, no news.
I'm not pleased to share this with you, by the way. Okay, so the Splinter Cell movie has officially been cast. You ready for this?
Who is it?
A young man by the name of Tom Hardy.
Yay!
He's not bad looking,
please,
but...
Please don't tell me Tom Cruise. I know that guy's, like, not aged since the 80s, but still.
Well, Tom Cruise actually would be a better choice. He's around the actual age of Sam Fisher, honestly speaking. He would be better. The film will be...
No, he does not age.
Who, Tom Cruise?
Yeah.
Oh, he ages. You just have to see a split screen of him with his younger self. He just ages very well. He's aged. Tom Hardy. Okay, well, actually, the person that's going to be writing the movie is called named Warren Eric Warren Singer. He also wrote the movie called The International, which I've never heard of. Splinter Cell is not set up at any studio at current, but Ubisoft is in talks with Warner Brothers and Paramount. Tom Hardy, they're saying, is one of the biggest talents in the film industry. This is from Jean-Julien Bernet, who is the CEO of Ubisoft Pictures, Pictures.
He says those names.
I'm mad at him. He says he has the ability to take on complex and varied roles, and with his broad range of acting skills, his involvement in the Tom Clancy Splinter Cell movie is exciting news for movie and video game fans alike. No, it is not. We have no idea who the hell this guy is. Okay, well, at least they're doing it right with Splinter Cell. Actor Michael Fassbender will be starring in the Assassin's Creed movie, which is in production at New Regency and Fox. But Jean-Julien Bernet, we don't know who this guy is. I don't know why you – anybody know who Tom Hardy is? I've never heard his name before. I've never – he didn't name any big-name movies he was in. Give me something so I can see where he –
I can't. I'm trying to think of something, anything, and I can't. What has he made? He's got to have made something that I would know.
Somebody, anybody know who he is?
Seriously, I don't know. What is that?
Nobody knows. Anybody out there listening, if you know who Tom Hardy is, let us know, because we are at a loss.
Yeah.
He's good looking. Let me say that he's good looking, but he doesn't look like Sam Fisher. I mean, Sam Fisher is at least 40 to 50 year old man. This guy looks like he's 24. And this is not going to fly. I'm just saying to you, Ubisoft.
Well, what also is not going to fly? Apparently, because I still think they're going to sink. Zyniga.
Oh, again.
The executive deck. Yeah. Zynga this week has apparently decided to shake things up a little bit. They shuffled the senior management deck as Chief Financial Officer David Werner left to take an executive post at Facebook. Wow, you leave one sinking ship for another, that's good. Apparently restructured the management team in a way that centralizes command structure and fills the gigantic gaps left by the recent departures of the company in the last few months, because the rats are like, nope, we're not going down. With that in mind, Pincus has promoted David Ho, the former head of mobile, to the position of Chief Operations Officer. Former Executive Vice President of Business and Corporate Development, Barry Cottle, has been promoted to the post of Chief Revenue Officer. He'll assume some of the duties that Shepard handled, while Ko will also take on some of those duties. Stephen Chiang has been promoted as the new president of games, while former Chief Accounting Office Mark Vranesh will replace Winner as Chief Financial Officer. Vranesh will also remain Chief Accounting Officer. Alright, so what did Pincus have to say? He says, Dave remains a good friend with all, and we wish him success in his next role. Yeah, why do I hear him saying this through clenched teeth? Mark, David, Barry, Steve are rooted in our culture, committed to our future, and part of the talented bench of leadership at Zynga. I'm confident we have the right team to deliver our mission of connecting the world through games and position us for long-term growth. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, paddle.
Okay, now, Joe says that Tom Hardy was Bane in The Dark Knight Rises. See, I know they didn't want to mention it, but they probably should have. I know because of what was connected to movie. He also was in Inception. Who was he in? Oh my God! Now I know who he was. I really don't want him to play the part. I'm sorry.
I didn't watch either one of those, so I don't know.
Oh, and I know exactly who he is now. Once he said that, I looked at his face. You know, I am against this. I know he's a UK actor, but I don't see Sam Fisher. I don't see it. They're gonna have to sell me on this one. He's too young. He's way too young. Clearly, we had quite a few actors. Like I said, Tom Cruise could have played the part. Sam Fisher's not that tall.
Mm-hmm.
And not that I like Tom Cruise, but he is a damn good actor. He's crazy, but again, that's not his job. But I appreciate the crazy. It comes across well on the screen. You had one or two who actually look like Sam Fisher. The guy. Did you ever watch Desperate Housewives?
I didn't.
Okay. Well, if you ever pick it up, the guy that played Mike Delfino, perfect. He looks like Sam Fisher. Great shape, great body, same age. Just anybody else that was a little bit more well-known. He wasn't even the lead character in Inception, which would give me. Hell, I would have taken Leo DiCaprio even at this juncture.
Ew.
Well, he's around the right age, and he's in decent shape. He's a very good actor.
I don't know. There's something about Leo, every time I see him recently, I just want to reach to the screen and slap him. I don't know what it is either. Literally, if I see him, I want to slap him.
You want to slap everybody.
But him, I don't know what the deal is.
You don't like Leo?
I used to. I was, you know, growing up about the time he was in Casper and all that, and Romeo and Juliet and the Titanic and all the girls swooned over him. And now I look at him and just like,
you know what it is?
His mud face. Little bastard.
Oh, it's okay. His face and stuff has changed. I like him better now because in Titanic he looked like he was 15, so now he looks like a man.
Yeah.
So I'm happy about that one. But anyway, yeah, good luck with that, Tom. I'm not pleased with the choice of you for Sam Fisher. You're gonna have to bring it. Ugh. Ugh. Why? Ugh. Okay. Guild Wars 2 players talking to you, Ginger.
Yes.
Apparently, a lot of people are upset. They're calling this latest drama double standard. The debate revolves around the new ascended tier of armor being added this month to the MMO. In Arena's own words on their website, they're quoted as saying, "This new rarity type falls between exotic and legendary on the spectrum of rarity."
I saw that, and I wondered if people weren't going to get a little upset about that.
And they said it has slightly higher stats than the exotics. The crucial part of that sentence, slightly higher stats. Ooh, some of you are mad. Some players are now finding themselves in the frustrating position of having spent lots of real-world money or lots of game time amassing suits of armor they believe would be future-proof, only to discover now that they won't be. They'll be statistically weaker. You had to know that was coming. It gets boring if they don't raise a cap.
I know. How did you?
You didn't know that?
Come on, you big babies. You knew this was going to happen.
Anyway.
Then, well, that's your own darn fault for not thinking it was going to happen.
Eventually, item designer Lindsay Murdoch, I love your name, by the way, said that you'll be able to kit yourself out with a full set of ascended gear and high-end infusions to help you edge in the game content. Their explanation for the ascended gear boiled down to hardcore players having run out of ways to progress. It's that simple. What are you mad about? You can only get so high.
This is what happens. You jerks. I'm trying to filter this, and I'll go off on this later tonight. You guys rush all the way to the end of the game, and you skip so much in the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and now you're bored. That is your fault. Go back, re-roll, and take your time. Explore. Open up every edge of that map. Open up all your vistas. Check those all out. There are a million things for you to be doing. Hell, I usually level pretty fast. I'm still in my teens because I'm hitting all the vistas. I'm doing all the little quests. The Halloween quests? Oh, man, I had a blast searching for all those stupid pumpkins.
That's what I say. You miss out on so much when you rush through a game. You're paying money for it. What are you in a hurry for? Are you keeping it for the month? I could see if you say, you know, I'm only going to be playing this for a month. I have got to hurry up and get to higher levels so I can finish.
But it's not. There's no fees. You're not paying, you know, month to month. So it's not like you're rushing because you're like, oh, my God, I can only afford to play this for 3 months. You don't. There's no monthly fee. You take your time. You do the quest. You have fun. You don't rush. Y'all are all so, well, look at me. Look at the high stats. And
okay.
But just because you've got a high stats does not mean you have the talent to beat the person with the lower stats who's much more talented than you.
I've already shown somebody that. I showed somebody that when we played City of Heroes, we were two levels lower than that tank, and we tore him a new one.
I was not a tank. City of Heroes, I did that in Dark Age of Camelot. Two of us level 20s out there in the castle, and we held it from a group of 50s.
And we were, we were DPS. We weren't even tanks. We were DPS.
Yes. We were casters.
You go, messed you up.
Yes.
And let's not forget Sean Bowman, who Ginger was handing his butt every time.
I know. It has nothing to do with stats. You can do all the math you want. You can figure out your rotation all you want. But if you do not have that instinct, then you're not going to win. All right. Oh, it's my turn.
I was
throwing a fit. So, my turn. Yay. Okay. So, Faceless, which I'm pretty sure is supposed to be Slender Man. Anyways, Faceless can't get a green light on Steam. While Ethereal Entertainment's Faceless has been a top vote getter on Steam green light since the platform's launch in September, Valve has decided not to publish the game on Steam because of the copyright concerns. Faceless is a free-to-play multiplayer survival horror modification of Half-Life 2 based on the Slender Man urban legend that apparently finds its origin story in the Something Awful forums circa 2006 and became a viral phenomenon. You know what Slender Man is, right? You've seen it? Pictures? No? I'll have to show you. It's kind of creepy. According to developer Dustin Ross, the Slender Man idea is a free-use entity that he obtained the proper permission to use it from the guy that created it, Something Awful user Victor Surge. Ross also pointed out that a similar game called The Intruder takes inspiration from the legend and made it through Greenlight in October. Apparently, the blessing from Surge has not moved Valve because the third party owns the option rights to Slender Man and could license the property for media such as movies and video games. Oh my god, the big creepy movie. So we'll need their permission too, says Valve. The developers are in negotiations with the option holder, and once the proper paperwork is signed, Faceless should be ready to launch on Steam, according to Ethereal. Right now, Ross says that negotiations are kind of stalled at the moment. In other words, somebody wants some payday. Faceless is set for closed beta testing in December, and the full version is set to launch in March on PC. All right. Dude, I don't know what to tell you here. There's already a game out there about Slender Man, and I've watched it being played. So, you're a little bit late to this show. Somebody already has one out there. You're going to want to find out who has it. Because if you make one and put it out, they're going to say, we had it first. So, I don't care if it's an urban legend, free-to-use entity.
Stop it.
Yeah. No, this guy's crazy. Pretty much what it is. It's a really tall guy, really slender. He's in a black suit. White shirt, black tie. So, black suit. He has no face. He's very, very pale, and he has no face.
Hey, stop.
He's always, like, in the very back corner of a picture. You don't ever see him until you notice he's there. You're like, oh, my God! So, yeah.
All right, I'm going to try this again. Another zombie watch for me, people. We're going to try one more time. I tell you, BT just hates us today. All right. So, I will... there we go. All right, those of you who are playing The Walking Dead, be aware The Walking Dead Season 1 of the game concludes next week on all platforms. The first season of Telltale's gut-wrenching adaptation of Robert Kirkman's The Walking Dead comic series is coming to a close next week on XBLA, the PlayStation Network, PC, Mac, and your iOS. The final episode, being called No Time Left, will be releasing on the 21st of November across all platforms except for the one in the U.S., PlayStation Network, where it comes out a day earlier for once. This otherwise simultaneous release is unusual, as the previous episodes all came out at least a couple of weeks late on iOS. In fact, episode 4 just came out last week on the App Store. After 4 episodes, No Time Left has a lot of questions to answer, notably, how many times? How many times will you be scared to death going, oh my god? Okay. My friends at Eurogamer also say if you're curious about how your decisions stacked up against others, you can check that out on, is it their Facebook? Maybe either Facebook or you can try YouTube. And if you do, if you haven't played it yet, you are even leaving yourself open for a spoiler. Ginger.
What? Ginger.
Well, yeah, we did play Walking Dead. Have you played any of the other seasons so far?
I have not, Mrs. Bubbly Talking Chick. No.
Well, I gotta be Bubbly Talking Chick. You're the one who sent me links. I will find you if you send that link. Cause me problems and then go talk bad about me. How dare you?
I love you, Miss Corey. No, I haven't.
Anybody out there been playing? It's really good. You know what? I'm done talking. I'm not going to play with you anymore, sister.
I love you, Corey. I love you.
I do want to share this other story. We're kind of geeky. Am I still bubbly, by the way?
Oh, no.
This other story is kind of geeky, kind of not. This is kind of teaching some of the older generation the power of the internet. I know you guys have been probably reading about this Donald Trump and his crazy that's been going on.
No, see how more crazy?
The crazy is being flung back at him. There is an online petition, basically, where people are saying they will never shop at Macy's again if they don't drop him and his products from the store. The petition is up to 500,000 people signed, and Macy's hasn't said a word yet. Macy's, Christmas is coming. I think y'all need to maybe you need to drop him.
Yeah,
he's learning the power of the internet and Twitter. Sometimes it's okay to have a voice, but sometimes just shut up. Just, you know, you said what you had to say. Everybody knows, you know, how you feel at this point. Shut up. Or start your own news network where we can talk about it all day, and then people can change channels and not to listen to you.
Yes, exactly.
I'm just saying.
Now I wanted to say that something on Facebook earlier. So anyways, Sony to raise nearly $2 billion in cash from convertible bond sales.
Mm.
All right. Sony announced that it will raise an estimated $1.85 billion in cash through the sale of its convertible bonds. The money generated from the sales of these bonds, the company says, will help pay down the $380 million it spent acquiring a cloud-based gaming company, Gaikai. Along with the financing investments, it has in other businesses such as Olympus Corp and paying off miscellaneous company debts. Sony announced the acquisition of Gaikai back in July of this year, but did not elaborate on how Gaikai's technology and expertise would be used in relation to Sony's platforms. It is assumed that the cloud-based gaming technology will be a major part of Sony's next-generation console. Maybe. I guess we'll see. And, you know what I'm done. Buckle down right now, you know, with the hacks and needing a PS4 release like yesterday and all that other fun stuff. All right, so that one was kind of short. Can I do another?
Yeah, for once, I would like to see them actually step up and be the first to launch their thing. Be a leader. Why are you guys waiting on Nintendo to do something?
If you can't have ideas of your own, you can't be original. Copy. Copy pasta.
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Legend of Zelda, Vengeance to deliver hardcore PvP action.
Woohoo!
Games Campus revealed key PvP details for its upcoming relaunch of MMORPG Legend of Zelda, Vengeance. Hardcore PvP is an important component to this upcoming MMO based on Greek mythology, and the game will feature four unique PvP battle modes pitting players against each other in both small and large-scale battles. Players can join the Legend of Etta, which I have a link up on newdocumentnature.com this morning. Legend of Etta Visions will offer a variety of fast-paced, intense PvP options from duels between players to colossal RVR battles and arena battles, such as each area designed for high action and an ultimate dominance. Massive RVR battles known as Sacred War will take place on three unique battlefields at scheduled times throughout the day, with battles split between level ranges. During the battles, players will capture fascinating relics and enshrine them at their base. Hey, that sounds familiar. Once the relics are taken, the opposing faction will fight its way to the base to capture the relics. Teams with the most relics at the end of the battle reign supreme. Winning the Sacred War will grant buffs to help players level up and hunt along with god points to use the special merchants to purchase power items, pets, mounts, and more. Okay. So so that's kind of awesome. Again, it's Legend of Zelda, and I have it up on new.gamenatrix.com this morning.
Which is a little less of a mess, but not quite. Not quite. We're getting there. All right. I have to say happy birthday to somebody.
Oh, who we say happy birthday to?
Xbox Live, of course.
Yay! Happy birthday, people who keep hiding all the cool stuff.
Okay, apparently GLaDOS has us.
GLaDOS, get up
on Weibo. Weibo? You're on Weibo? Uh-oh. I'm scared now. Okay, so Xbox Live has turned 10 years old today. Xbox Live officially launched. The first of its kind, that's when you're a leader, that changed the console game forever for first of its kind service. It was $50 back then to play for a year. And they launched with games like NFL 2K3, Mech Assault, which is the first game I ever played on Xbox Live, Ghost Recon, and Unreal Championship, which is another one I played. Until that point, the only console to come to the market with any sort of online focus, believe it or not, was Sega's Dreamcast, which had come out in 1999 and was dead with a year. And Microsoft, of course, was undeterred by this epic failure on Sega's part. And they embraced online gaming as the future of its console and the industry. Very good, Microsoft. The company was expecting online gaming to set its console apart in the market and committed to it in a big way, building an Ethernet port into every single Xbox. Ooh, I remember those days. It has one now, but it's... the bet, of course, paid off for Microsoft. Gamers everywhere loved it, were willing to pay for online play, and Xbox Live was a hit, surviving the death of the original Xbox and forming the cornerstone that is now known as Xbox 360. Today, Xbox Live boasts more than 40 million users. Just do the math on $50 times 40 million users. It's not 50 anymore, it's more, but just think about it. The service, of course, now bears very little resemblance to its original iteration because it was sucky.
One second, I've got to turn back up the sound.
What happened? Ginger.
Now, I'm here. I turned down the sound so that I could hear what the recording sounds like. And, yeah, it's bad.
Well, nothing we can do, unfortunately. It's good to know. Thank you, guys, but I can't do anything about it, unfortunately. I think it's BT that's having the issue. Okay, so, of course, the service has added a free membership to your avatars, achievements, you got video chat, web browsing, and a robust library of live and on-demand entertaining options, TV, sports, movies, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, while Xbox Live success may be taken for granted today, Seamus Blackley, who was one of the four former Microsoft employees who originally proposed the Xbox, said it wasn't always that way. Anyway, you could go and check out more about this floating around on the web. Y'all can't hear us anyway.
No, it's not good.
If you recall the original Xbox screen, remember all the green it was? I think that had to do with the Matrix. I think they were capitalized on that. Everything was so green. Good God.
Interesting.
What was the first game you played?
I don't know.
On Xbox, you don't remember?
On Xbox.
Xbox Live, you don't remember?
Well, on the original Xbox, the first game I played was Halo, actually.
But
first Pokemon was something I downloaded from Xbox Live?
No, not downloaded. I'm saying the first Xbox Live game you played. Were you only on the 360? That was the first time you played on Xbox?
No. I played on the original Xbox with Halo.
Okay.
I mean, the original first Halo was on Xbox.
Yes.
Beyond that, I don't know. So Halo had to have been my first one.
Ooh.
Okay. Can we read this? I had to figure out which one, because there was two press releases. I had to figure out which one was the actual one I needed to read. Anyway, first lies, Beeline Interactive, as they release Monster Hospital for iPad, iPhone, and
Monster?
iPod Touch.
Monster? Mm-hmm. I want to play.
Apparently they don't want us to play, because like I said, I had two press releases. I'd be like, wait, which one? All right, so they released it today. It's for smartphones and tablets, and it's called Monster Hospital. It's an app for the iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch. The game puts players in charge of a struggling hospital full of cute creatures working to cure their fellow monsters from all manner of malicious malady. Monster fans who enjoy Beeline's Monster Pet Shop premium game will relish the developer's return to this world of weirdness. As the game begins, players are put in charge of Monster Hospital, where they must move patients through the stages of triage, diagnosis, treatment, and recovery as quickly as possible. They can play at a regular pace, or they can use vitamins to hurry up their patients back to health. As they race against time, users will be swept up into a drama of monstrous proportions as a hilarious soap opera-style story unfolds. Waves of sick monsters rush the hospital, and players must speedily manage the mayhem, treating as many of the feverish freaks as they can in order to move to the next level. As sick monsters recover, they can be hired as their staff. Yeah. Players can also upgrade equipment and collect elements to unlock bonuses. As they fight to keep their hospitals from flatlining, players can tune in for a daily dose of tongue-in-cheek monster melodrama. Alright, so this is a free app, and it's in the App Store right now for iPhone, iPad, and iPod Touch. But apparently, no love for Android.
We never get any love.
Oh, right? Droid.
Droid.
Dark Side. We have Droid.
Droid.
Droid, yeah.
Alright, gosh.
What?
Well, Microsoft, of course, is pulling out all the stops with the Windows Phone 8 ads, which we are not pleased about, mainly because my page won't load. Maybe it's my connection. Maybe it's me. I don't know.
You know, it could be. Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. Oh, it could be.
It could be, because you're going to have to do another one. I just lost the whole page here.
All right.
And I'll tell you more about Jessica Alba and other people that they're putting in their ads. We're not pleased.
Hotness. Alright, so, Harry Reid, sit down, STFU, okay? there is a report that the Business Software Alliance is lamenting the death of Cyber Intelligence Sharing and Protection Act. Again, if you don't know what that is, that was CISPA. After its Senate counterpart, the Cybersecurity Act of 2012 was voted down in the Senate. Before that, the bill could not get passed a filibuster because it didn't have the required 60 votes to overcome it. No, because people were smarter than that. The latest action on the bill puts the issues to bed for at least 2012. He says, it is disappointing that the senators haven't yet been able to reach an agreement on cybersecurity legislation. But stalemate doesn't make the issue go away. There's no getting around the fact that we need to bolster America's cybersecurity capabilities. We urge both parties to put this issue at the top of the agenda in the next Congress. Yes, because that's what should be at the top of the agenda. You know, not how much we're spending or, you know, how we're going to do any of this other fun stuff like healthcare like we need to be doing. Anyways, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid. Oh, good Lord, I can't talk. Hell, I don't even need to be breaking up. I just can't talk. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid also lamented the rejection of CISPA, saying that not approving the bill leaves the U.S. wide open to cyber attack. At least he didn't warn us of impending cyber 9/11. No, if I ever hear anybody say that, I'm going to slap them.
Well, that's actually something I saw yesterday in the news, that there's not a cyber 9/11, but they said we should probably look for the possibility that someone's going to shut down the electricity as a cyber attack. And I don't mean just shut off the electricity in your house, people. We're talking about a nationwide blackout, like that show that's been coming on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be as bad as people seem to think it's going to be. And you're right. But again, we shouldn't have this crap on the internet in the first place. Good old fashioned on off, on off.
That's skill.
On off.
That's skill. Don't do it.
You got this whole little crank thing. On, pull it down, off. On. All right, so a bipartisan group of senators has worked for 3 years to craft this legislation. Yet Republicans have filibustered this worthy measure in July. It is imperative that Democrats and Republicans work together to address what national security experts have called the most serious challenge to our nation, to our national security since the onset of the nuclear age 60 years ago. No, we're not turning the internet into a Cold War. Stop it. The Electronic Frontier Foundation described CISPA as dangerously vague and noted that it can give corporations immunity, allowing for the sharing of information to any government agencies that it wants. Oh, my God. All right, so he says, I don't know who says this, EFF Senior Staff Attorney Lee Teen says we're looking forward to having a more informed debate about cybersecurity next session. And we hope that Congress will bear in mind the serious privacy interests of individual Internet users. We don't need to water down existing privacy law to address the challenges of cybersecurity. Now, again, people, you know, all the whole, you know, the military members' information was given out because it was on a laptop. Why was it on a laptop? Stop it. Stop being dumb.
Yeah. We're still talking about the...
Don't put it on the internet. Yeah.
Well, that's like, you know, Petraeus. Yeah, that was not smart.
Wanted to be secret. Don't put it on the internet.
Can't hack a piece of paper. I say that all the time.
People are just...
You cannot hack a piece of paper. Okay. You Microsoft people, we love you, but stop it. I'm tired of seeing celebrities in my commercials for my gadgets. Jessica Alba does probably not know how to operate her Windows 8 phone. And if you do, Jessica, prove me wrong. Microsoft's newest Windows 8 ads will begin airing later tonight, starring Jessica Alba and Gwen Stefani. I don't know why. The ads are fun and appear to be fun, they say, and it's supposed to be focused on people, which incidentally highlights Windows Phone's core differentiation from the iPhone and Android-based smartphones. The ads are designed to show how personal Windows Phone is while showcasing the features that make it so different. This is what a Microsoft representative told our guys over at VentureBeat. Jessica, in her particular spot, is showing how you activate and manipulate the Windows tile. Microsoft is also planning a massive campaign in the UK, France, and Germany. They said they ain't afraid of the competition. No. Now, Gwen's ad is supposed to focus on how many different things Windows 8 phones pulls together. So she's supposed to be taking a Skype call and doing all kinds of crazy stuff just to see how it is. Okay, and my I don't like when they put the celebrities in it. It annoys me. Mostly because we know these people are not using their phones. They're really not. They do what they do. Jessica Alba's an actress. She's most likely acting. She's not using her phone. And when Stefani's singing with her hot husband, she's not using a Windows phone on a daily basis.
No.
Show me a geek actress or actor, and then show me them with the phone, and I will be impressed.
Yes, exactly.
However, Samsung is looking at Apple going, oh, hell no. Unlike HTC, Samsung says they do not plan on paying Apple any patent royalties on its Android smartphone sales. This is according to the Korean company's head of mobile. Rather, the fight will continue. He said just this past weekend, Apple and HTC buried the hatchet, ceasing all lawsuits and cross-licensing each other's patents. Settlement is believed to be worth between $6 to $8 per Android phone per Apple, and speculations was that Samsung might be next. But today, Samsung closed that door, slammed it shut, put a lock on it, put a guard dog in front of it. Executive J.K. Shin, who leads the Korean company's mobile division, was asked if Samsung would seek a similar arrangement, and he says, we have no such intention. And I imagine he said it just like that, with his eyebrow raised and his hand on his hip, too, because that really makes it serious business.
True story.
According to VentureBeat, whether this is simply negotiation or the dug in heels of bitter competition between two mobile giants, it's impossible to say. Just right now, Samsung, of course, may be liable for up to $1.5 billion in a legal settlement that is still entangled with challenges and reviews and potential increases. Both companies have had some legal wins and losses, and the two companies have more than 50 ongoing or filed lawsuits already going on around the globe. So, meanwhile, Samsung is killing it in the marketplace. They shipped 57 million smartphones last quarter, and expecting as much or more this coming quarter. All of this means that although Apple may be getting $160 million to $200 million a year in royalties from HTC, the company's accountants should not yet start anticipating another $1.5 billion for Samsung. Because Samsung say, oh, hell no!
Samsung thinks, no, that's ours. That's ours.
And like, what you going to do? You want us to cut you, don't you?
All right. No pain, no gain. The science of pain isn't an obvious starting point for an online game, but the Science Museum certainly has good form making tricky subject matter fun for all ages. Okay, so they say on average, we each consume 373 painkillers per year. Perhaps more surprisingly, scientists have proven that our mood levels affect how intensely we feel pain, and spider venom could hold the key to future pain treatments. What? Okay, so all the
spiders.
Yeah. So they're exploring all of this in a quirky new game. It's called Ouch. It's part of Science Museum's latest exhibition called Painless. The game, created by specialist digital... I'm going to back up. The game was created by specialist digital studio ThoughtBin, and it begins by challenging players to inflict injuries on a lovable, unwitting protagonist. Oh, I see parents throwing a fit. I see parents throwing a fit all over the place. Using their arsenal of placebos, painkillers, and spider venom, players then defend a pulsing brain against waves of pain signals. They say this is down frantic gameplay at its most basic and beautiful, with graphics inspired by classic designers such as Saul Bass and Otto Neurath. The game has a rich and unique appearance, unlike traditional online flash games. The addictive gameplay is enough to keep players refining strategies in pursuit of the high score. Ouch represents a new direction in games commissioning for Science Museum. The project is a collaboration between the museum team, 13-year-old students from Langley Academy, and Bristol-based ThoughtBin. The students were involved in the beginning, making decisions on content and gameplay. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Anyways, Ben Templeton, creative director at ThoughtBin, says it's not often we involve the audience in concept generation. It was a fun way to kick off, and means the game strikes a good balance between the museum's want to teach people and the level of playability young people have come to accept. I'm going to have to get my hands on this and see what I think. I'm a little bit worried about it. I don't know about a game where you torture something and then, you know, give it plastic bows.
That's pretty much how science works.
It's true. But I'm not for sure about putting this in the hands of children who don't quite understand.
Well, what's the age on it?
They didn't give it to me, but they didn't say. But I'm thinking if there were any 13-year-olds to help develop it, it can't be.
Well, let's see how it does, I guess.
Yeah, I know some mean 13-year-olds. I don't know if I'd want to give them a game where, you know, they are picking and choosing whether or not they're giving some poor animal a placebo or the actual pain medication, you know?
Well, that's normal science. The torturing, I'd like to see what they mean by torture.
Yeah.
Because that right there is not cute.
Mm-mm.
All right, so I can't load any pages now. I don't know what's going on.
Huh. All right, well, then I shall do another.
You got to.
All right. Let me see. Okay. Angry Birds Star Wars launches this week. Blockbuster release arrives in retail.
I thought we already had it.
Burn it with fire. No. We've been safe from it so far, but apparently no longer. Angry Birds Star Wars is the new blockbuster title from Rovio Entertainment and Lucasfilm. First you go with Rovio, and then you go with Disney. I do believe Lucas, or at least the guy behind Lucas, has gotten totally insane, lost his marbles.
Well, he has nothing to do with it now.
That's true. Destined to be recorded as both an instant hit and a timeless classic, the new release has been met with massive anticipation and widespread acclaim. You know, maybe that's why he sold it off to Disney, because he knows they can't do it good. He's afraid that if somebody else, if they got into the hands of an actual producer, would do better. Anyways, as well as being an incredible collaboration, Angry Birds Star Wars delivers a gaming experience that is out of this world, says Alan Wild, brand manager at Focus Media. He also says, it is, without doubt, a must-have game. Live. I do not must-have it. Featuring a wealth of levels set in iconic locations, engaging new gameplay mechanics, secrets to uncover, and free updates, the game follows the rebel birds in their fight against the evil imperial pigs. Fans will use the force, wield a lightsaber, and blast away pit troopers on an intergalactic journey from the desert of Tatooine to the depths of the pig star, where they'll face off against the terrifying Darth Vader, Dark Lord of the Pigs. Wow. This is just sad. This is so sad how far Lucas has fallen. I swear to God, I think he's, like, going through dementia.
Possibly. Well, there's a guy named Mr. Croydon who will be spending a good deal of time in jail. He won't be gaming. He was caught selling fake Nintendo games over the internet and has been handed a 32-month jail term. Justin Success Brooks made more than 600,000 euros in 2 years running the scheme, according to the Croydon Guard. The fraudster ran a complex and sophisticated operation with very substantial trade to buyers in China. Croydon Crown Court is the one that caught him. Success Brooks used multiple identities, addresses, and had up to 18 websites to trade on. In one transaction, he sold pirated versions of 75 DS games worth 1,368 euros for just $39.95. Incredibly, Success Brooks continued his operation despite cease and desist letters from the UK Border Agency and continued to sell the games even after the police confiscated his stock. Defense lawyer Gary Venturi argued his client's crimes were due to the exorbitant price of games on the high street. Really? He says, if you read the forums for every person complaining about the sale of illegal games, there are four or five complaining about the price of legitimate games. Venturi claimed that and added that Success Brooks' crimes were no worse than advertising fake games in a newspaper. Success Brooks pleaded guilty to 7 counts of fraud. He was told he would serve at least half of his sentence behind bars. But you know what? We're not talking about him advertising games. He sold. He took the money. It's a crime.
Yes, yes, yes. You took the money. It's a crime. Do your time. Get your little spank. It's okay. Well, no, I mean, it's not okay because you did it, but don't cry about it. I mean,
Of course he's crying about it. He did it.
I did a bad thing, and I got my hands spanked, and I'm, you know, everybody knows I did a bad thing. Boo-hoo. Fuck it up, yo.
All right. We got about 4 minutes, and BT is not even loading the page to let us get off of air.
Well, all right. Okay. Let me do this one then. There is a top 10 Facebook game, Candy Crush Saga, now available on mobile. Leading casual social games company King.com announces today the launch of its most popular Facebook game, Candy Crush Saga, that I've not even heard of, for all iOS devices, which is iPhone, iPad, iPad Mini, iPod Touch. The match 3 games, over 5 million daily players, and the hundreds of millions of Apple mobile device users will now be able to play the game anywhere, anytime, ensuring their leaderboard scores, progress, and virtual goods are fully synchronized regardless of where they play. Right, that's cool. Candy Crush Saga follows King.com's highly successful launch of its popular Bubble Witch Saga game. All right, I've heard about that one.
Bubble Witch is addictive.
Mm-hmm. They say there were over 100 million mobile game plays within only a few days of launching Bubble Witch Saga on iOS. And we've been experiencing 2 times the engagement from players on both Facebook and iOS since its launch. This is coming from Ricardo Zacconi, CEO and co-founder of King.com. Candy Crush Saga becomes the second Facebook game to launch on mobile with fully synced capabilities to allow players to access their game when and where it's most convenient for them without losing their progress and virtual goods. Awesome. Okay, so again, that is Candy Crush Saga, and it's now on all your iOS devices, and they did not give me a price. But it does look like they are expected to launch an Android version next year. Oh, it's free to play. Free to play. There we go. Free to play.
All right. And with that, we are going to go. There's also one thing I want to tell you to check out. Somebody's having an event. Rise of the Triad is raising some money for Child's Play. If you want to check them out, interceptor-entertainment.com/Child's Play. And that's going to be all for us, people. We will see you guys later tonight, hopefully with better sound.
Yes.
Stay out of trouble.
No.
Yes, give them the kisses and send them all away.
Later, boys.